Okay, hello and welcome to episode 14 of Life in Hex. I'm Gelada.
I'm Sephron. And with us today, we have a special guest.
We do.
Say hello to the infamous Packamack.
Hello.
Wow, so enthusiastic.
How are you doing, Packamack?
I'm fine, thanks. Yourself?
I am very good. That's funny, Yamara started exactly the same way when
I asked that question. Didn't he?
He went, I'm fine, thanks, and yourself. Strange.
Wow.
Just got a bit of housekeeping, apart from obviously our special guest, Packamack.
Yes, we did mention last week that, well, last episode rather, that we're going to have him on the show, hopefully.
Yep,
so shouldn't come as too much of a surprise, I guess, but he's the infamous Packamack we always mention. So
greatest artist.
Yeah.
Packamack.deviantart.com. We'll mentioned it at the end of the show.
Yes,
as well.
Again.
Person where Sephron gets all of his anime and manga from.
Yes,
yeah, too poor to afford it.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I'm so poor.
Bit of housekeeping is that we have a forum.
Ooh.
Woo.
Go and visit lifeinhex.com/forum. Most obvious address in the world.
Yep.
And we're also planning to introduce another community-based feature called What We Didn't Say. Now, this was my idea that I had at like 3 o'clock in the morning or
something. Yeah, we were just like both online like really late at night, and you just contacted me, and I was like, and you were like, what about this? How do you think about this, Sephron? I'm like, dude, that's actually quite a cool idea.
So what we're going to do is, we don't want to go over an hour in an episode because, A, it's quite long to go over an hour because that's a long podcast.
It takes a long time to record, takes a long time to edit.
Blah, blah, blah. And B, obviously, it screws up DDP Hack Radio because DDP Hack Radio have an hour slot for us. So what we're going to do is we're going to have like a collective blog for both of us, where we can write about the small things that we didn't get to include, like news about anime or little gaming or tech things
that we wanted to talk about, we just didn't have the time for.
And we can just write little short snippets on that, and then if enough people comment about them, people are interested about what we've said and they're like, oh, you know, could you actually include that, it's really good, then we'll include it along with the user feedback.
So just like if you email us and want to talk about something, so it's just, you know, if you know, you sound like the sound of something we talked about on it, you know, leave a comment and we'll try and get it in the next show.
That's our housekeeping.
Pretty much the housekeeping, yeah. Just to briefly mention the forum again, you might want to explain about its different type of layout than
it's I'm using Vanilla, which I have no idea what the address is, maybe getvanilla.com. It's not PHPBB or anything like that, and it's based on discussions and comments rather than sort of threads and stuff.
Yeah.
But because it's more of just a community type thing, there's no need for us to have different sections.
Yeah.
There's categories, but there's no actual different sections because really it's going to stay fairly small, and so you don't need to separate stuff.
Exactly.
It looks quite cool, I think.
It's very lightweight and it looks really nice.
It's really easy to install as well.
Yeah, I mean, you did it really quickly, didn't you? It didn't take you very long at all.
I was like, oh, this will be my project for the day, and I'd finished in 10 minutes.
Exactly. But it looks really nice. Mm-hmm. It's very well done, in my opinion. Except for the acceptance thing.
Which I've changed.
Oh, good. I didn't know you
it. Still says that you're going to be have to be accepted, but it just lets you join straight.
Right, okay.
So I'll adjust everything and change the layout and blah, blah,
blah.
I've got some time. Life?
So, yes, you were the only person with life, because I haven't really been up to too much recently.
Mm-hmm. My computer caught fire. That's my life. It didn't exactly catch fire, but it did kind of smoke. The graphics card went up in smoke. Yeah, we're not kidding. It really did.
It really did.
I used it as my business studies homework excuse. Sir, my computer caught fire. But I got it replaced. I bought all the stuff. Well, I built it ages ago and bought all the stuff from overclockers.co.uk.
Did you buy everything from Overclockers?
Most of the like high quality hardware stuff. The stuff that's not like cheap white label stuff you get from Overclockers. Phoned them up. And they were so quick. I mean, literally, once the guy sort of was in his normal professional mode when he was talking to me first, but once he realized that I knew what I was talking about, he immediately switched down to sort of casual level and just started to say, you know, talk about the graphics card that he got and stuff. And we were both Googling at the same time find the equivalent. And
I think that's quite cool because it means that, you know, these guys aren't just like pompous idiots who, you know, are just there to answer newbie questions. You know, they do actually care about the community.
I mean, they've got a forum and there's like millions of posts on the forum. It's a really active forum.
Yeah.
But I think the turnaround was 2 days. I sent it off and they dispatched it by the next day.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, they were just...
They were really conscientious really about getting, you know, keeping your customer...
Custom.
Custom, that's the one.
Mm. So that was really good. I got a 7900 GT out of it, so it's very nice. It's very nice.
Mm-hmm. Slightly better.
Yeah.
Not much, but
it just
means you'll be able to SLI in the future.
At some point, yeah. That's life. That's our life section.
Yep. Have you got anything to mention in your life, Packamack?
Nothing much.
Not to anything at all?
Boring,
no. Nothing cool. Right. Okay.
Okay, so on to anime.
Yes, our anime section. Now, as you might have guessed, we're going to do it a little bit different, like we did last time with Yamara, and we're going to let Packamack take over this time.
Yep. Yes. Hello, Packamack.
Hello, Gelada.
So, Packamatic's going to do a review for us, and what are you going to review today, then?
Today, I'm reviewing Neon Genesis Evangelion, otherwise known as Eva for short.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unlike most anime that's recent, this is actually an original anime with top quality animation for the most part until it loses its budget towards the end. And unlike most anime where you get the usual heroes who, you know, power up and save the day easy enough.
The general archetypes.
Yeah. This one, the main hero is a wine git. No one likes him. Seriously, he's got so much angst in him, no one can like him. But
right.
Because of this, and he's just like a normal everyday kid,
mm-hmm.
you can sympathise with him. You can relate to him in a way. Because we all get our emo moments like that.
You more than others.
Yep. I do.
It's emo for sure, isn't it?
Yeah. And most of the other characters, they all become emo along the way.
Mm-hmm.
You get this other character, Ray. She can't feel emotions, so I don't know how you can call her emo. But in that, Ray, she can't really define her own existence, which makes her a bit, you know, weird.
Mm-hmm.
And people wonder about her. And then the only other person who doesn't seem a bit emotional, Asuka, who, you know, Rich,
her entrance is absolutely legendary.
She becomes emo at the end as well, so everyone becomes emo.
Doesn't she end up lying in a bath or something?
Yeah,
or they come and find her or something.
It's weird. Right. But for what it's worth, it's a great story. It's original and an anime that becomes the most popular one in the world. It can't be, you know, criticised that badly.
Mm-hmm.
So I recommend everyone should see that, especially you, Gerardo, because I think you would like that.
You quite like it. You might like
it. You would like it.
What, an emo anime?
It is very emo, and it's very deep.
Philosophical.
It's got some...
Philosophical.
Philosophical. It's got some really cool mech battles as well, so that's thrown in there. Mm-hmm. It's got some...
He's nodding.
It has got some quite nice character development in some areas, doesn't it?
It does.
Yes.
And
the naked chicks in baths, you know. Just
There's not a whole lot of fan service.
Is that just at the end?
Even though at the very end, Misato always goes, and there'll be more fan service. And you're like, there never is.
Yeah.
Except for in the movie. End of Eva. That's quite disgusting at the beginning, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about.
Oh my god.
Shall we tell Gelada?
No.
Probably off the air.
No, I think I have to see it for himself.
Yes, I think we'll have to show you. Anyone out there who's already watched Eva, you know what we're on about. The whole Shinji in the hospital room with Asuka. Yes.
Yep.
That's enough said about that.
So it's called
Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Right. Okay.
Cool. I think
do you know who it's by?
Gainax.
Gainax made it. I'm not actually sure. Who's the director? The author, director.
Can't say off the top of my head.
Can't remember. We can check it
out. Cool.
We can no, it doesn't matter.
Cool.
It was made quite a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's what?
About 10 years
old,
maybe.
10 at least. You know, same kind of age
still
as like Trigun.
Most forefront animes. One of the most inspirational and groundbreaking.
Most anime fans will stick by their views of saying Eva is possibly one of the greatest anime ever made. I mean, I don't agree with that. But most people who are into anime really do say Eva, best ever. Full stop.
Mm.
But
all right.
It's their opinion.
You'll need to watch it at least twice to understand it, because the first time I watched it, you don't really understand the story because there's so
it happens so fast.
Yeah, there's like foreshadowing events that happen at the beginning that you just don't understand until you watch it again.
Because you don't actually notice them, because you think, oh, there must be something, whatever, you know, forget about it.
Yeah, and when you watch it the first time, you think, yeah, this is amazing. And when you watch the second time, like Sephran, you'll think, nah, I don't like this, it gets too emo.
I remember the first time I watched it, I like watched the third disc in all one go. And I was really loving it. And then I decided to rewatch it a couple of months later. And I was like, oh, it's not actually that great. It's a bit emo. It's a bit, oh my God. What are they going to think about now? Oh, angst shit.
But myself, I liked it. Even second viewing, it makes it easier to understand and just, you know, appreciate it for what it's worth.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So an out of 10?
9.
Mm-hmm.
For when the budget gets a bit dry for it and the animation gets badder. But yeah. Thought-provoking and definitely worth a watch.
Cool. Yeah, it's a good anime.
Okay, thank you very much. Any more anime stuff? Anyone?
Not really. There's a couple of bits of news, I suppose, we could mention.
Mm-hmm.
As usual, you know, I've always got to mention it.
The releases. We're almost like a release podcast.
Yeah, I know. How cool is that?
Where the rules came from. But
the latest one that's come out, obviously, I'm dead psyched about, obviously, is... Dot Hack.
Mm-hmm.
Dot Hack Route 6 came out last night, I believe.
Cool.
I was going to download
Mara on here for that, didn't we?
Yeah, I know, he'd love that. I was downloading it. It didn't actually finish when I woke up this morning, so I didn't actually get to watch it, which kind of sucked. But they've released it now, so there's quite a lot of groups doing it. There's about 3 or 4 different groups doing it. And this one group is really good at doing it because they do a high def version and a low def version.
Cool.
I do the low def version because it's only 130 meg and it runs fine on my computer.
And high def is,
and high def is like high spec. Oh my god, can't run. So
high def booth babes.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. I enjoyed that. We'll come on to that later.
So did IGN.
Obviously.
They need to release them faster, though, so I can finally watch the English dubbing and get it on DVD compared to... Because I can't download stuff.
You're not into torrenting, are you?
No.
I don't know why.
Well, neither are we, of course.
No, of course not.
Only for legal stuff like Hack 5.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Legal.
Anything else?
Yes, there is one thing I thought was quite cool. Now, when I first mentioned it, both of you were like, oh, for God's sake.
Oh, it was only him.
No, when I first mentioned it before, just I actually explained what it actually meant.
All right.
Right. You were both like, oh, my God. But because I was mentioning it was a Yu-Gi-Oh thing. And you were both like, oh, God, here we go again. But then I mentioned it, and you were like, oh, actually, that's really cool. The creators of the Yu-Gi-Oh anime, I'm not sure, it's not Konami who made it, is it? I'm not sure. Whatever.
I haven't got a clue.
But the new movie for it called Yu-Gi-Oh! Capsule Monsters is coming out soon, the 23rd of May, I believe. And to like promote its release, so to speak, the company that's doing it is going to freely stream the movie on their websites, and you can watch it for free. It'll only be for one day on the 22nd, 7 p.m. PST, I believe. I'm not sure what that is in GMT.
Pacific Standard Time. What is that? All the way over the other side of America.
I think that's 7 hours. Nine hours behind us.
Like 9 hours. Yeah.
So that's 2 o'clock in the morning.
No, later than that.
Three. Yeah. It's really late at night.
Yeah.
So for UK viewers, you probably might have to.
Oh, viewers, yeah.
Listeners, viewers, etc. Yeah. You know what I mean.
Then people.
Yeah. You might have to either, you know, create some kind of program to capture it for you. You know, I'm sure you can.
And play a dump stream, unless they use protected stuff like IGN did for their live one.
Or, you know, you must have to stay up nice and late or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely good. I mean, they're releasing it for free on the internet.
It's great, I think. It's really good.
It's promoting the free media. So, yeah, I mean, I know Yu-Gi-Oh! Is not for everyone. And it will be the English version, which will suck. But, what?
The English voices are horrible.
I know they are. And they changed the names and everything.
The names are even worse. Just,
But otherwise, it's quite cool. And so, yeah, I mean, if you're into Yu-Gi-Oh!, check it out. If you're not, never mind.
No.
Carry on with your lives.
Yeah.
Yep. That's about it for anime, I think, isn't
it?
You got any anime you want to mention?
No, I haven't got any more anime, no.
All right, cool. We've got a long gaming section this episode, so what we're doing is, because of E3, obviously, you know, we're going to have a massive talk about E3, so we're going to split
this... What podcast isn't?
Yeah, exactly. We're going to split this up into, well, podcasts that don't talk about gaming.
Well, yeah, but you know what I'm saying. You know what I mean. Yeah. Shut up.
So we're going to split this. Pacamax is going to do a review of Phoenix Wright for the Nintendo DS.
I am indeed.
And then we're going to have some music, and then we're going to do the E3 stuff, and then there's no tech. We're just talking about E3.
We did do, like, all tech last show, and basically no gaming and anime.
It's all good.
So.
E3.
Makes up for itself.
Yep. Okay, so your review, Pacamax. Over to you.
Take it away.
Phoenix Wright is a game for the DS, which was originally for the GBA in Japan, under the name of Yakuten Saiban. Forgive my pronunciation. It's basically a lawyer detective ring sim where you must go about and solve trials for your clients who have been accused of being guilty of murdering other people. Basically, as you go about, you can shout out objection into the DS itself when you produce evidence against a person. It's a story-driven game where you've got to find the inconsistencies, the lies of witnesses. And all I can say, really, is that it's definitely the funnest game I've played recently.
It's a really original DS game, isn't it?
Indeed. Like, when I get Mario Kart or Super Smash Bros., I'm playing it. Yeah, it's fun. But when you play Phoenix Wright, it's a game where you've always got a smile on your face.
It's the game. The game to end all games.
Yes.
I mean, I remember you did mention it, like, they make fun of themselves by, you know, the stupid names that they name the characters.
Yeah, the puns of the names. Like, there's one character called Sal Manella.
Oh, right.
First name's Sal, second name's Manella.
Yeah. Very cool.
There's stuff like that. The only problem I can see with the game so far is it's based on the GBA version. Therefore, it doesn't take full use of the DS.
Apart from shouting objections into the microphone.
Although, the last case, which is brand new for the DS, it does use some of it. So that makes up for it. It's a bit short of a game as well. I wouldn't recommend buying it unless you get reduced. Mm-hmm. However, Estella's a fantastic game. The story's great. Mm-hmm. The character sprites are brilliant. I'm a Sephiroth.
They are damn funny sometimes.
Exactly. When you push a witness and you find the lies in their testimonies, when they break down, it's amazing. The sound is great as well when it picks up into a upbeat orchestra, whatever, I don't know.
Yeah.
And when you go against them, that's amazing as well.
The whole banging the table is my fit. You know, he goes, "Don't be lying there!"
Exactly. And what's even greater is that the second game is coming out next year, which means I didn't think it'd do too well over here in Western countries because I haven't seen it doing too well in the shops and everything, but at least it's coming out, the second game's coming out next year, so that's all right.
Mm-hmm. You can see all the
fills
dust.
Fills my need.
Yeah. Before I hit the table. So is it more of a Japanese game then?
It is more of a Japanese game. Although the Western translation, which has been great, it renames the characters, as you can guess from the puns. It does do the game justice, but yeah, you probably need to like anime to appreciate it.
The art, sort of design and everything. Yeah.
But still a great game.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of age group would you recommend it to?
Everybody. Although maybe teens, upper teens will appreciate the intricacies of the storyline more than normal younger kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. Out of 10.
Definitely 10.
That good.
Although the...
It's certainly original. I mean,
it is original. Yeah. I haven't seen anything like it before. Mm. It's just that the length of the game is a bit short for my liking.
Right. There's only good. 5 episodes, isn't
there? Only 5 episodes. And the first episode, which is only like a training level, that can be done in about 10 minutes.
Mm. There's nothing hard about it at all. You practically can't lose at it.
The best bit is definitely the last case and the storyline. I'm going to spoil it for Sephiroth, but seriously,
or anyone else,
but when he finds it and when you find it, you'll absolutely be gobsmacked about how amazing it's written. It's that good.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. So 10 out of 10.
You know what? You'd be very surprised to hear this, but IGN only gave it 7.8.
Who cares about what IGN says?
I know.
What credit do they have compared to me?
I know what you're saying. I'm just saying you'd be surprised that some of the bigger gaming sites actually rate it lower.
It's not for everyone, I'll admit that.
Mm.
But for you, for 10 me, out of 10.
Definitely.
Anime whore. Okay, cool. Well, we've got some music.
Yes,
there,
we
like,
have.
Interlude between you and E3 and everything. Yep.
This was my choice.
It was your choice. We got the Cool Waters Band again. We pronounced them wrong last time. Well, we pronounced them wrong twice.
We said the Cold Water Band.
And it was the Cool Water Band, and now it's the Cool Waters Band.
It's actually, the actual name is the Cool Waters Band.
Yep. We'll put a link on the site. I just realised we forgot to put any link to URL or whatever. And this is called Don't Forget Where You Came From.
I'm a little confused about all this enemy fire, about drug lords and holy wars and people freaking out over what they want to freak about. Oh, so tired. There's nothing on my radio. So a little girl who likes to swing real low, she tries to sing how she wants to dance for me. I sometimes wonder what they gave to be there. Don't forget where you came from, no I won't. Don't forget where you've been. Don't forget about all the
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the Cool Waters Band with Don't Forget Where You Came From.
Don't forget where you came from.
Yep.
I know they didn't sing like that.
Yeah.
They're probably much better.
E3.
Oh, my God.
It's been E3.
It's E3.
Well, it was E3.
It was E3. By the time you listen to it, E3 have passed.
Well, E3's passed now, just.
Yeah, it's just finished today.
It's been running last week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Yep.
And it's been awesome. I mean, I finally, because I'm an IGN insider, I've paid for all the IGN stuff. And because
sorry, who paid for all the IGN side stuff?
My dad, yeah.
Thank you!
All right. They don't accept solo. it's only like $20 or something. It's
yeah, I know.
And because IGN have merged with GameSpy and all of the other blah, 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 Livewire is now available to IGN insiders.
Yes.
This meant that I could get loads of streaming of the E3 Nintendo conference, mm-hmm. the whole thing. Loads of interviews with developers and stuff, all the playtesting developers.
Yeah, yeah.
We thought we'd just have a general chat about all the games that we've seen on the footage. I mean, we haven't actually been able to get there, you know. If anyone's got any spare tickets next year, we'd love to go, you know, sneak
or
in.
We can break in.
Yeah.
Remember what we were talking about on the internet the other night? About breaking into it and then nicking Wii and then selling it to go to Japan to nick more Wiis.
An earthquake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Story best left for another day.
Yes, indeed.
Should we start with the Nintendo conference?
We can do. Mm-hmm. We've got some show notes, but we're just going to chat about it, aren't we?
The Nintendo conference was really good, I think. I genuinely watched some of the Microsoft conference, but and I didn't watch the Sony conference. I mean, they've stolen Nintendo's ideas, so sod off.
I know. That was outrageous when I found about that. I can't believe it.
And Nintendo always do good conferences. They always do good, you know.
They're good for their showmanship.
You know, they're really good, especially with Reggie, obviously, the American PR guy. It started off with Shigeru Miyamoto coming on amid much smoke and conducting with the Wii remote and orchestra playing behind him on the screen.
Wearing a tux.
Yeah, and they were playing the Legend of Zelda theme tune.
Was it the Legend of Zelda? Wasn't it Hyrule Field?
It was Hyrule Field, yeah. I think so, anyway.
And he was conducting with the Wii controller.
Yeah, and then they were switching to Extreme Truck and then Red
Truck.
Steel. And all, oh, yeah. Why have I written Extreme Truck?
Fuck no, because you've got Excite Truck written down there.
Yeah, it must have been really...
They haven't. My bad.
It must have been really late at night or something. Reggie came on. Look at that. I even spelled his name right. I think.
Reggie Fiem, yeah. No, isn't it? I don't know. Yeah, that's about right.
Looks right.
How do you pronounce it?
It does look right.
Reggie Fiem.
Fiem. Yeah, you don't pronounce it how it's spelled.
No.
Anyway.
It's French. Yeah.
Cool.
Well, that name is something. And their whole sort of thing was playing is believing.
They were really trying to push that slogan, weren't they?
Playing is believing. Playing.
Reggie's like, is all like, you know, it's not about what's hot and, you know, what you can see. It's all about what you can feel.
And what's absolutely new and et cetera, et cetera.
You know,
we lapped all this up, didn't we? We lapped their PR.
It's such propaganda, isn't it?
Like, we love you, Nintendo.
I want to have your baby, Shigeru.
Yes.
Too far.
No, it's not.
Just a little bit.
But they had some more promotional videos again with the little Wii thing. But we finally got to see some footage, which mm-hmm. was, you know, last time it was just like the Revolution controller and people playing tennis and stuff.
Yeah, that's about it. But we actually got to see loads of footage from mm-hmm. the actual Wii itself.
So, shall we go through some of the games that we're
interested in? Is there anything else we need to talk about?
Nope. Just the games, generally.
Just the games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Twilight Princess.
Biggest one.
Biggest one.
That's the biggest thing that everybody was looking forward mm-hmm. to. Oh, excuse me.
Twilight Princess, it was originally slated for the GameCube.
Still is.
It was originally GameCube only. But in true Ocarina of Time fashion, they've no doubt been delayed infinitely onto how long it's been taking. And so there were rumours that it was going to be one game, one disc, and you would play it on your GameCube, but then when you put it into your Revolution, you got Revolution stuff. Like,
Wii.
Which is what I'd
I'm talking about
for.
Back in the past. This was before the Wii. It was
Fair
called
enough.
The Wii. And Nintendo actually dismissed those rumours. They actually said, no, we're not doing that. That's a load of bullshit, blah, blah, blah. And then they came out with, well, actually, maybe we might be doing that after all.
Similarly,
yeah.
Yes.
And so they said at the conference that there will be two versions of the game on the shelves, and there will be a GameCube version, and there will be a...
Wii version.
Now, I guess I was trying to work out why they were doing this, because... It just seems weird to have two copies of the game. I mean, it means you reach the GameCube people, but to be honest, the GameCube's dead. So who are they trying to reach?
Mm.
You know, but what I think it actually is that they didn't want to scrap all of the code that they've been working on for the GameCube. Because I assume that the GameCube and the Wii are different architecture. and so need to be completely recoded. And so they haven't, they've decided not to scrap that and then just port it over to the Wii on a separate copy and then keep them both.
Yeah,
because if you've already got it, then why not, you know, you might as well sell it if you're doing the other thing at the same time.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
But it's really cool. The Wii features are things like the using the bow and arrow and special sword moves like spinning around.
Exactly.
Control with the Wii remote. And
one of the things that they discussed about that while they're doing the playtest of it in front of all the audience was that the nunchaku that you're going to be using to move your character around in, which has got the D-stick in, not the D-stick, the analog stick.
Analog stick, yeah.
Actually also has motion sensors in it.
Yeah, it does.
Because originally people just thought it was a Wii remote that was going to have motion sensors and all that. But the nunchuck that's going to be equipped to it also has motion sensors.
It does indeed. And they also revealed the speaker that's on the Wii remote.
Yeah, there's going to be a speaker built into the actual Wii remote itself, which is going to give you depth of field.
Yeah, they call it depth of sound or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's like, for the example of where you've got Link with his bow, and you're going to be able to hear the arrow go from the Wii remote to the TV.
So it's going to feel like you really are almost playing that.
Immersion,
you know,
type stuff. Playing is believing.
Yes.
So that was really cool. The graphics look quite nice.
Graphics look amazing.
I mean, obviously GameCube graphics, they haven't adjusted the graphics for the Wii, but still, who cares?
You can see the, as you said, you can see the Wind Waker engine behind it.
Yeah, there was an interview I read a while ago that said that they are actually still using the Wind Waker engine, but they've just chucked proper graphics on top.
Yeah.
And so you can really see that in the way that the models move. In the way that the lock-on action works.
I agree.
When you're attacking, there's that pause when you strike that they had in Wind Waker. That whenever you watched it on a video, it always looked like it was jittering, but when you actually play it, you can really feel that.
They've also got the bit where you hit the enemy and you'll get the like lines of light bursting out from when you hit them. And then when they die, they'll disappear in a puff of smoke.
Yeah. So you can really see it there that they're using the Wind Waker engine. So what do you think, Pac-Mac, about Twilight Princess? You looking forward to Twilight Princess?
Yeah, but I don't see why two versions are really necessary. Like you said before, having both control schemes on one disc just seems a bit fairer to me, maybe. Instead of maybe shelling out for two games just for having two control schemes that you want. I don't know.
I won't be buying the GameCube version.
No. I mean, especially considering that the Revolution is backwards compatible with the Wii.
I'm going to probably end up selling my GameCube.
Sell it, but don't sell the GameCube controllers.
All the games.
Just GameCube.
Because Super Smash Bros. Brawl is going to use the GameCube controller.
Yeah.
Because the Wii has ports on it for the GameCube stuff. Which
kind
of confuses me even more, because if it's backwards compatible with GameCube games, why do you need to have two versions?
That's a point.
You know,
it's a control scheme, isn't it?
No, so that people who are
bought a GameCube
and they really can't afford to buy the Wii as well.
I think they just don't want to chuck away hours and hours of work of code.
I don't know, but whatever. I mean, it doesn't really affect me because I'm going to buy myself a Wii. And Twilight Princess has been confirmed to be a release title with the Wii, which is big news.
Well, that's the first time they've ever done.
It's the first Zelda game which is going to be a release title.
And also, there's been rumours about the Wii costing £120.
It's about that area. It was I read somewhere on Joystick.
Same as DS, wasn't it?
Yeah. If you go way back to our previous episodes, I remember saying that it will be no more than £120. And look at that.
Yeah. Because I saw rumours that it could be about $249.
Yeah.
It's about that, £120.
Yeah, it was EGM in America that said this.
Yeah, that's right.
But it was interesting because I remember watching the conference. And Reggie says, like, oh, we're going to keep the price under wraps for a bit longer. 2 hours later, I go on the web and see that EGM have released the price. So I'm not sure whether it is true or not.
Could
it might be
just
a rumor,
but it could be real. Who knows? But
let's hope it is real.
It will still be cheap, regardless. I mean, Reggie did say that you'll be playing it at the end of this year.
And it'll be cheaper than
everything
else.
And it's going to be cheaper. You know, he didn't say that. He just said it's going to be
cheaper. Didn't he? Yeah.
So, you know, which obviously means it's going to be cheaper than the PS3 and the Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm. What about Red Steel? What does everyone think about Red Steel?
I watched the press conference and I've seen some videos, and it does look quite nice. And the control scheme seems innovative. But I think I agree with what you said. There are still problems with it.
There are. Certainly when you're moving around and when you're trying to turn, you've got to point right at the edge of the screen in order to turn around, and that turning is very slow.
Yeah.
Because once you reach the edge of the screen, they can't determine how fast you want to move, so it's doing a standard speed. So that was kind of flawed. Also, you said the sword fighting to you didn't look quite right.
Yeah, I mean, when he was sword fighting with the guy on the roof, it seemed that... I know that, you know, most of the combinations of your attacks can be almost limitless. Because, obviously, you know, however you move the Wii controller is how you slash with your sword. But it seemed that when you attacked him, he seemed to be totally unrealistically reacting. It's so, like, you'd maybe do a side slash and he'd still, like, go backwards as if you'd slashed him across his chest or something. Mm. It didn't seem right. It didn't work kind of right. Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I mean, you know, the graphics look really awesome. The effects, like the fire effects and everything.
The fire effects look really nice. The lighting effects look nice as well.
Just going to show, you know, that the Wii isn't actually that bad as far as graphics.
No.
Pac-Mac?
I think it's nice to have a game like this for the Nintendo, considering all the critics for the GameCubes, considering it kiddie and...
Oh, so sick of that. Mm. Stereotype.
I'm glad to have a more mature game for the Wii that's exclusive.
I've got people at college who are like, nothing but, oh, I won't touch Nintendo, it's for kids. I'm like, fuck off. Mm.
But yeah, I think it's good that Ubisoft are exclusive to Nintendo. Rayman 4 is also going to be exclusive. Obviously, that is a bit kiddie, but you know, it's an awesome game.
Rayman.
Like Rayman?
No.
Have you played a Rayman game?
I had a Rayman game in Advance. Is
it because he's French?
Yeah, but then again, Rayman Advance isn't great, actually. Rayman 2 for the N64.
Oh, that was good.
That was awesome.
That was great.
I loved that game.
So hard.
It really
is. Mario, to be honest.
Yeah, I suppose so.
It's true, actually. You got a point. But no, I'm probably going to be at the Rayman as well, but that's really... That's not what we're going to talk about, is it?
No, we're not.
So Red Steel is very nice looking. Nice graphics.
It's certainly a good flagship title for Nintendo to be going, look at what the Wii can do. You know, even if it turns out to be a crap game, all the time now while they're doing all the press stuff and they're doing all the hype, it's a really good game to go, look at this.
This is what the Wii can do.
It's amazing.
Yeah, this is what Wii can do.
Yes.
I love the pun.
Yeah. Super Mario Galaxy.
Yes.
The third game.
This was a big surprise.
It was. Certainly not only that they were producing a Mario game, which was we knew would happen.
I mean, everyone knew that they were going to make a Mario game. Obviously, they're going to make a Mario game.
The point was when.
Yeah.
But they never released any information about being at this Mario game. So it was a complete surprise to everyone. And the fact that it's in space.
Yeah, certainly they've gone like, let's do something new.
They do something new with all the Mario games. I mean, look at Mario Sunshine.
They do on their flagship consoles. They don't on, like, handhelds. On
handhelds,
they're always copies of old ones, apart from new Super Mario Brothers, which is going to be awesome.
Yes.
Fair for dream.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be good. But yeah, Super Mario Galaxy, or Super Mario Galaxy.
Mario.
But yeah, it looked interesting. There was some videos. I'm not sure how the control scheme's going to work. It's quite interesting. Like,
I think it doesn't... Will it use the nunchuck? That's the point, though, because
On the demo, wasn't the... person actually using the...
The girl who was playing was only using the Wii controller.
To move Mario around.
That was only on the trailers, though.
The trailer.
If you actually look at how they're playing, they're using the nunchuck to move around.
Ah.
And then the jump is controlled by either pressing a button or flicking up.
You never actually
spin attacks.
People playing it, though.
There are on the gameplay videos. One of them somewhere. I didn't show you them all. Right. And there was one where you spin the Wii remote to move. I can't. How honestly can you control someone moving in a 3D environment with just pointing the stick?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, if you actually look at where the star is on the screen, the star is always at the top. Like, they're not actually using the Wii remote until they want to do something like point at the. You know, how can you do it when you've got those puzzles where you point at the bubbles to get them to move up the bubbles? You got to use the nunchuck.
I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it does look quite a nice game. It's
graphics look.
Graphics wise, very similar to Mario Sunshine, in my opinion. It looks very similar. But who cares? I mean, Mario Sunshine's graphics were really
Sunshine
pretty.
Sunshine Engine, perhaps.
Maybe it is the Sunshine Engine. But it's a very pretty looking game.
Mm-hmm.
It looks very nice. It's very bright and colourful.
Certainly a vast improvement from the days of Super Mario 64.
Yes, that's very different. Mm. But it's going to be interesting because the idea of being no gravity, but at the same time, when you jump, you fall downwards.
Yeah, so then you can like go round and
exactly.
Interesting puzzles. I think is
puzzles
be...
will be strange.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to learning more about it.
Mm-hmm. This is a big one.
This is on to a non-Nintendo one, surprisingly.
Yes, we're on to PC.
This is, and then we're going to trip back to Nintendo. Actually,
oops,
never mind.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the big games.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised this isn't rated number one hyped.
Mm, because Halo 3.
I mean, I can understand Halo 3 fanboys going, oh my god!
Halo 3!
And then they cream themselves.
But it's EA's, it's Wheelwright's Spore, which is being produced by EA. Or sold
EA
by EA.
EA is distributing it. I'm not sure who the production house is, though.
It's been in production for a couple of years now. It's been in production for a long time. Publicly, could have been even longer privately. You know, how long they've been working on this. Maybe since the end of The Sims 2, they actually started
this. That might make sense, actually. Yeah.
A really long time. And at E3, pre-E3, they released a trailer,
which we watched, which was really good.
It's a pre-rendered type thing. It's not actually in-game,
yeah.
But it's just a funny type sort of advert thing. It's almost like to make people go, what the hell is that? Like,
yeah.
Wow, that looks really interesting.
There's also the Will Wright did a little thing before that as well. He did a demonstration.
That was at GDC.
Yeah, that's right. He did a GDC demonstration, which is really good.
That was the first time
people saw it,
seen it properly. But at E3, Will Wright did a conference, and EA were allowing people to film, which was cool.
Which was very cool.
We got to see it through IGN, through my IGN Insider.
Well, you got to, but I got to see the trailers.
You saw my one.
Yeah, you downloaded it.
Yeah.
So.
And it looks a lot more polished now. They've really got the user interface sorted. They've got some of the backbones, like how you can get certain things are due to DNA points, which is effectively money.
Yeah.
And the more DNA points you have, the better things you can get for your creature in the evolution process. It really looked a lot more polished. Like, they had the Sporepedia, which is really interesting how that would work.
Yeah, that's interesting, how they had the card system to show different types of creatures and everything.
Yeah, so you've got, it might be a card for your home star, and then if you click on that, you can get the cards for your planets, and then it's like a drill down type thing where you can then drill down to your creatures.
So you could go from galaxy to solar system to planets to cities to creatures.
Yeah.
And
so that's really cool. And there's this sort of thing like when you're in a UFO at the end of the game, and it's not the end, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The last stage of the game.
Which we'll talk about in a minute. Mm-hmm.
And you're going flying around to other planets, and you can scan other creatures, and that comes up in your Sporepedia, and you learn about them, and you find out who made them. And I think they're holding something back about that, because he mentioned about the trading game,
yes.
Which we reckon is where you can... is where you can trade maybe creatures. Maybe this is where the cards will come in.
We can trade creature information, we can trade technologies, perhaps.
But I think it'd be really cool. Certainly, just the amount of stars that there is, it's like 500 million stars in a galaxy.
In a galaxy, and then there's loads of galaxies.
So, I mean, everyone who's playing the game will have some of their creatures or whatever, or all of it, in fact, will go onto the central database of Spore. And he also mentioned at the previous one that will be compressed down to, 2 kilobytes per creature. So they're not actually going to have a huge amount of data being transferred, because all that gets transferred is the creature, and then the computer on each person's
regenerates that,
handles it itself with the cities, etc. So all this information is going to go onto this huge database of all the creatures, and then literally a copy of that is going to go to every person's computer.
Yeah,
so and everyone's going to have everyone's
everyone
creatures.
Everyone is going to have every single thing, so there's no more pre-developed creatures that are going to set, like, maybe you've got to defeat these, and this is going to be, every time you defeat them, it's going to get harder and harder. It's all totally random, because everyone's is going to be everyone else's.
And you're going to find those creatures that are uber hard, that people, you know, have been playing the game for ages. They've got some really well-developed creatures. You know, no doubt there's going to be guides on how to make uber creatures, what things to use. And that could be interesting. I mean, if you look back to, I know it's a completely different game entirely, but Creatures and Creatures Internet Edition.
Yeah, I remember that.
Docking Station, rather.
That's cool.
It works, but you got to a point where there were, Invincible Norns, where people used to leave their computers on, and you'd get to generation, 14,000 or something, and they'd be glowing green, and they would go to adult in, 5 seconds, and then they had, every single disease, but they were immune to every single disease.
Yeah.
And the game had its flaws in that sense, and they used to infect, if you got one of these Norns, they used to literally infect your docking station with these immortal Norns, because all the Norns that they breed with become immortal.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure whether they're going to experience something like that. I think they've got a big job on their hands when the game gets established, that there are going to be glitches in the system. There are going to be things that can be exploited to perhaps ruin the game for other people, especially since you've got this movement of data
creating
going on.
Some kind of creature which will cause your creatures to go wrong. Some kind of creature that will make either the game either unfair because they're too powerful, or there'll be something wrong with them which makes the game go, what the fuck is going on? And then go, oh my god.
So I think they've got a lot of risk there, but no doubt they'll be doing extensive playtesting.
There'll be a lot of patches, most likely.
I would expect so as well, yeah. But it looks really cool.
It does look amazing.
I think it's going to be a milestone in PC gaming.
Definitely.
Just like The Sims was actually a milestone in in simulation and everything, Spore is equally going to be another milestone.
The next step.
I mean, what is Will Wright going to do next? He's done God now.
You are God of the universe, practically.
You know, it's...
you don't really know too much about it, do you, Pac?
I've seen the trailer that was given quite a while ago. All I have to do is commend the depth and detail to it. That's just amazing.
Sick.
It is.
Super Smash Bros. Brawl?
Yes, this is another big Nintendo
surprise.
Game.
And a big surprise.
They wouldn't even mention it in the press conference. Mm-hmm. Reggie didn't even talk about it at all. But this is the big new game that I am so looking forward to. Because I love the Super Smash Bros. Series.
It's awesome.
I mean, we all love it, don't we?
Yep.
And so...
He's
very enthusiastic there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the new Super Smash Bros. Game. Mm-hmm. And... the first thing that needs to be mentioned is it won't be using the Wii Remote.
It won't. It will be using the GameCube controller. So do not chuck away your GameCube controllers.
So
what happens if you haven't got a GameCube?
Maybe they'll supply it with it.
You buy a GameCube controller?
Maybe, I don't know.
The new Wii controller?
What, the virtual console?
Yeah, that's right. Maybe that'll work with it. Because that's got two analog sticks on it. So, yeah, something like that. But the GameCube controllers will work effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to be it's basically the same kind of thing. Yep. With a new, slightly new engine. And new characters. Mm-hmm. Some of the new characters we know of are... we got Meta Knight from...
Kirby.
From Kirby. He's like the evil dude.
Evil dude.
He's the evil dudey.
Mm-hmm.
Who else we got? We got Pit from Kid Icarus, who I've never played. Mm-hmm. I've never played the Kid Icarus game. I think any of us have, we?
Mm-hmm.
No.
But apparently it's really good, so... must be good.
We've got Zero Suit Samus.
Yes, from
Blue
the...
Samus from Zero Mission.
Metro Zero Mission,
the GBA, mm-hmm. which is her outside of a big power suit type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wario!
Wario!
Oh yeah, we have got Wario. I forgot about Wario.
It's me, Wario!
With belly button and fart of doom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure quite how that's going to work. Like Jigglypuff sleep, perhaps.
Yeah, that's the point. Probably. That won't work. Oh, it'd be funny. So yeah, you're Wario. And last but not least, of the ones that have been... confirmed. Because there's probably going to be loads more. I mean, what are the chances that Sonic won't be in it?
That's a shame.
You're going to have the almighty.
The old.
The old.
The old.
The so freaking cool Solid Snake.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting how it's going to work because Shixi has said, like, they don't want weapons in it, like guns and stuff.
Yeah.
They're explosions.
They're trying to keep it kind of like kiddie, low-key kiddie stuff, so... he won't be able to use his SOCOM, he won't be able to use FAMAS, etc. So, God knows. I mean, he'll be able to
use
his
cardboard box.
He's got his cardboard box, so you can't beat that.
Do you think that'll be his down and B move?
No, that'll be shield.
Yeah.
It'll be his shield.
Yeah, it's a crap shield, though. No, you want that down. It wants to be down and B move.
Maybe hiding. How can you hide from the other characters?
You can't. No, that's what I'm saying, though.
Kirby's rock. That's what hide. I reckon down and B move.
Yeah.
Cardboard box.
Maybe. I don't know. But what would it do?
It just like
shield you for
like Kirby's
while.
Rock for a
or if in the
time.
Air do down B smash him with a cardboard box.
Oh yeah, sure. That works. That.
Slow down.
I'm sure it's going to have some kind of really cool thing on it.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they're going to do it well.
Maybe it's just going to be a cardboard box.
He's most likely going to get some kind of stealth ability.
Yeah, camo suits.
The camo suit that he uses in all the games. He's most likely going to get you some explosives. Like I said, he's going to get to use his his martial art kicking punches, etc. I'm sure there's going to be some. I'm sure they're going to do
like
it well.
Captain Falcon.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know how he came into being?
Who?
How they added Solid Snake and why they added him?
We haven't got enough time, so moving on. So how they added to what? What SSB?
Well, yeah, because Hideo, the Hideo Kojima, the guy who's behind it, I found the series.
Likes SSB.
No, he was talking to Shigeru.
Mm-hmm.
And he was
like having a chat, you know. Hey, how you doing?
Well, no,
you
know, like, Japanese. They get together, obviously, because like, they're big game developers.
Big
so.
Flag, you know.
You get all these, you know, conventions and everything. And they were talking,
what
obviously.
About that Wii? Yeah, I know. It's a stupid name, isn't it? Yeah, I know. But, you know, what can you do?
Could you shut up and let me finish? You
too
fucking
true.
Whore.
Too true.
Thank you. High five.
No, I was talking about Gelada.
Fuck you. Fuck you. moving on. No, he's saying about how I really love SBM and please, 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 please put Snake in it. So, what?
SSB. It's going to be online, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's going to be online,
that
so...
That was interesting, because they knew that Super Smash Bros. Was coming, but it was called Super Smash Bros. Online. That's what the IGN were thinking it was going to be called. So
it's called Super Smash Bros. Brawl.
Online, that'd be freaking awesome.
That'd be awesome. So we can
that's the thing about the Wii that we haven't mentioned, is that it's going to be online even when it's off.
Yeah, the Wii is going to be always online.
Mm, even when it's off, it's going to consume the power of a little micro bulb.
Miniature light bulb, so like that. Basically.
Yeah, well, no, that's an LED.
Oh, is it?
More than that, yeah. Right. A proper light bulb, so like 20 watt or something.
Yeah, yeah. But it's not going to use much.
But yeah, that's just a little side note.
So you'll be able to download content off the internet when it's even turned off. So.
I suggest what we do means we're short on time as we combine the next two into one because they're similar.
Yeah, that's true. So
that's Battlefield 21.
You talk about these,
yeah. That's Battlefield 2142 and Enemy Territory Quake Wars. Now, Enemy Territory Quake Wars is set in the Quake world, obviously.
Which I know fuck all about.
Yeah, same. It's originally, the game that they made before Splash Damage is the people who made it, was Wolfenstein Enemy Territory, which is a free game you can download, and it's a World War II based thing like Battlefield 2,
yeah,
essentially. And also, Battlefield 2142 is the next installment in the Battlefield series.
Mm-hmm.
So you've had 1942, Vietnam, and 2, and then Battlefield 2142.
Yeah.
It's set in 2142.
Wow.
That's quite obvious.
Surprise.
And there's the main thing about it is that they're introducing this new mode. So gone are the days of flags, etc., etc. I'm not sure whether they're going to still keep that, but maybe they will.
They'll probably keep because they ain't conquest modes. Mm-hmm. But
their new mode is called Titan mode. Now, what this is where each team has a mothership, and basically you've got to destroy each other's mothership. And you can do, first of all, you've got to take down the shields, and then you actually go into the mothership, so you can have like an indoor thing. And they said compare it to the first Star Wars Episode 4, where you got the little rebel ship thing, and you got that small corridor type thing.
Mm-hmm.
They said that's what it's like.
Yeah.
That's what it will be like when you're in the mothership.
Yeah.
Enemy Territory Quake Wars is going to be extremely similar, in my opinion, to Battlefield 2.
Very similar. I mean, we looked to watch your videos, and you're like, yeah, that could just be BF2.
That could be BF2. There's going to be some interesting things. They're also doing this objective type thing, which is now which one was it that does the solo mission thing? Was that Quake Wars or 2042?
No, it's Quake Wars.
Was it
for the newbies who don't know what they're doing yet.
Was that Quake Wars or was that 2142?
No, I'm sure it was Quake Wars.
One of the games, either 2142 or Quake Wars. I think it was Quake Wars. Has this thing where you've got solo mission, which is where if you're a noob and you don't know what to do, you can do one of the smaller objectives, and it gives you all the stuff about which way to go, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And you can do it yourself. And that helps to the overall game.
Yeah.
Both of them are sticking to the same sort of sizes as BF2 has, so,
yeah,
you know, 32, 64 player maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Quake Wars has no actual cap.
So you have as many as you want.
But the map sizes will be 32 player.
Yeah, or 64 player. Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're even going 64. I think they're just sticking 32.
No, it's not good.
Quite small. So that's them. My last little thing before you move on to those couple of DS games is Crysis by Crytek. Originally, that was thought to just be a technical demo name, but it's actually the name of the game.
Yeah.
Possibly. It's not Far Cry. It's not an expansion to Far Cry, but it is set in a jungle again.
Yeah. It looks very Far Cry-y. Mm-hmm.
It's a sci-fi action shooter, and you've got... The big thing about it is the game engine, where you've got things like volumetric clouds, soft shadows, real-time dynamic lighting, destructible foliage, which looks pretty cool.
That does look quite cool.
The fire effects are just awesome.
Yeah.
I mean,
fire effects in Far Cry were nice, weren't they? So
it's going to use DirectX 10, and that's the big thing about it. DirectX 10 is not going to be backwards compatible with DirectX 9.
No.
They're having to have two versions of DirectX.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting.
You haven't have no idea what we're on about, do you?
I haven't a clue.
That's right. Don't worry, it's PC stuff. You got a couple of DS games?
Yeah, I suppose me and Pat Kamak are going to talk about these.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of new DS games coming out that wasn't mentioned in E3. Two of the biggest ones, to be honest, were Yoshi's Island 2 and Star Fox.
Certainly a surprise to see that coming up. I didn't expect it.
Well, Star Fox.
Star Fox, yeah.
That's quite surprising. And when we say Star Fox, we don't mean shitty Star Fox Adventures. We mean...
Proper Star Fox.
I like Star Fox Adventures.
That fucking sucked.
Guess what I've got?
Zelda,
I've still got Proen's copy.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Do you want a copy? Proen's never asked for
it. I've got
back.
It.
Oh.
I don't want it. I don't want it.
I'll have it sell it on eBay.
Yeah.
I might sell Proen's copy. He might not be impressed.
You know he's going to be listening to this.
Oh, shit.
Whoops.
Do you want your copy of Star Fox Adventures back, Proen? Yep, good. Okay, moving on.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Oh my god.
But yeah, it's not Star Fox Finch. It's going to be like Lilac Wars esque. Lilac Wars and StarCraft, Star Fox Assault.
Mm-hmm.
Which you've got, haven't you?
I have.
Not very good.
No, not that great. But for my first, well, I haven't actually played Lilac Wars, so.
Oh my god.
It's my first experience of real Star Fox. That's right.
Mm. Well, you Lilac play Lilac Wars.
Lilac Wars is great, isn't it?
Awesome.
Lilac Wars is actually amazing.
Bomb.
Other game is Yoshi's Island 2, which looks very much like Yoshi's Story.
Mm, it does.
Which is an amazing Nintendo 64 game.
Mm. I remember getting that.
Yeah,
that was cool.
I remember getting that too. Mm. It was awesome.
There's going to be something about Baby Mario and Baby Donkey Kong. Though.
And Baby Peach.
Yeah, so was that the other one? I missed that one on the... I watched the conference, but I couldn't write it down fast enough. I was scribbling notes so fast. I was like,
quickly, right, quickly.
But yeah, so it's going to be interesting. But you're right, it does look like Yoshi's Story, which is no bad thing.
The original Yoshi's Island on the SNES is just such an amazing game, mm-hmm. and I love it. And I still play it to this day.
All the Yoshi's Island, Yoshi's Story and everything, they're all really amazing, but yet they're one of those sort of undermentioned games of Nintendo that, you know, it's one of those franchises.
The Yoshi series is great, but as you said, it's really undermentioned. It's not supported well enough, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a really great series, and I love Yoshi's, all the Yoshi stuff. I mean, Yoshi's my favourite Nintendo character, full stop, so.
It's awesome. We got some plugs and shouts just to wrap up the show.
Yep.
I've got a shout to a guy who was on the Hack 5 IRC called HBI. I said I'd give him a plug because he said, or a shout, whatever, because he said he'd listen to the show. And that's, you know, any listener deserves to be plugged.
If you're a listener and you want to plug, please email us so we know. We can plug you.
Also a quick shout to our friend Joe from school because... He out of most of our friends, he hasn't actually had a shout yet, so we're giving him a shout. This is a shout to you, Joe.
How many shouts have I had?
Quite a few.
You get a shout almost every episode.
Well, no, every a couple.
You
of
don't get an official shout at the end of the show, but he gets a mention almost every episode.
Like all of this.
On that amazing.
Yep. Yeah.
You wanted to be the elusive one, didn't you?
Yeah, the elusive one.
You didn't want to come on because it might be like an elusive character. That's like, ooh, who is this sexy person?
Also, a plug to your DeviantArt. Would you like to say what that is?
Oh, nothing much apart from DeviantArt. I'm sure most people know about what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You host your own art on there and stuff. So, free, so can't complain about that. Mm-hmm. Just host my free comic that I'm currently developing on and go check it out.
And the URL is?
The address.
HTTP.
No, you don't need that.
Just the bit.
www.pack.org.
No, you don't need www.
What is it then?
It's just
oh, my God!
It's just packamac.deviantart.com.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
So Pack our Mac, right? It'll be on the internet. It'll be on the website.
That's PACHAMAC.deviantart.com.
And it's got some of your really cool artwork.
Yeah. It's really cool. I've had a look and it's like, no,
that's all right. I could do better than what's on there if
it's still awesome.
Put in the effort.
Mm.
But yeah.
It's awesome. You've got a couple of.
I've got a little one to a website called Pojo.com. It's a website. It's dedicated to all like kind of like anime/. Card trading game stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's got some Pokemon stuff, it's got some Yu-Gi-Oh stuff, it's got some Inuyasha stuff apparently somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's pojo.com/Yu-Gi-Oh with the hyphens in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like got a load of information about building decks, you know, reviews of cards, some really cool interviews with like tournament players and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're into Yu-Gi-Oh trading card game, which I am of course now, check it out. It's a really good site.
Also a little other plug to
This is more of a Pac-Man plug again.
Oh, yeah, this was you. Would you like to plug the last
one? TokyoToys.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great UK-based seller for anime models that me and Sefren found at a local convention. Got really good deals, and since it's UK-based...
The shipping is quite low.
Cheaper shipping.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
cool.
£6 for pretty big models.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay, so that about wraps up the show.
That's pretty much everything, I think.
Episode 14. Okay, I am Gelada.
And I'm Sefren.
And I'm Pac-Mac.
Hey!
Hey, Yamara didn't get it right last time.
Yeah, Yamara was like...
He sat there for ages going...
How can you not understand that?
And I'm Yamara.
Okay, well, this has been Life in Hex episode 14. Lifeinhex.com. And email us at show@lifeinhex.com.
And don't forget to check out our forum at lifeinhex.com/forum.
And look out for the What We Didn't Say stuff, which we may include in stuff.
So this has been an E3 special.
Yep. And a Pac-Man special. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No worries.
So you maybe coming back another time in the future, perhaps?
Maybe.
Yes.
Good.
Anyway, right, that's about wraps up.
Again.
So, yeah.
That's long ending.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, all. You are so going to get so many fangirls now.
Hell yeah.
Life Next fangirls.
Yeah.
Do we have any?
One.
Moonlit.
I don't want to die.
No, Moonlit's not a girl.
Oh, sorry, sorry, Moonlit.
All of that will be cut anyway.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Outtakes are horny.
What a fan.
Keep the email address, baby.
Oh, you're
Luigi. What are you doing? I can't see it.
No, sorry, I just trapped an ant.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
Lovely. Yeah.
Yoshi!